Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hi, welcome in everybody. Happy Tuesday to you live from Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. You know, it's nice to see, Tony, I threw the question of the day out there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people not just concentrating on the big names at free agency or the free agent list that's out there. Plenty of big names. I'm sure the Jags will pursue some of those big names. I would hope they would pursue some of those big names. You know, you hear Dan Hicken talking about Dave Caldwell telling him, don't get caught up in the names. And does that make you nervous right off the bat? I mean, look.
I mean, it could, but we've been covering this team a long time, Mike, and we've covered a lot of free agency periods where guys like Julius Thomas, that quality guy, is hitting free agency. And for that 2 weeks before, there are a lot of teams mentioned that are connected to that guy, and it's never Jacksonville. And for the first time in a long time, a lot of these guys that are hitting free agency, on a nationwide perspective, teams are talking about the Jaguars as a potential landing spot for these guys. So at least that, to some degree, has changed the conversation a little bit about the Jacksonville Jaguars. Doesn't mean they're going to land any of these guys, but it's different than it's been in the past handful of years.
I wonder, though, is that simply because teams or reporters around the league just look and say, oh, the Jags have $65, $67 million in cap space? I mean, it could be something as simple as that. And, you know, you repeat it enough times. We were talking about this yesterday. I think it was off the air with Johnny O from Jaguars.com. And, you know, pointed out that there's this guy who works for ESPN Denver named Cecil Lammy. Okay, I had him on a show on Sirius a couple of weeks ago. And I want to say it was like a week ago Sunday. And on the break, we were talking about how much I think the Jags would like to see them pursue Julius Thomas. Nothing that, look, Tony and I are in here every day. It's not like Dave Caldwell's bringing us a hint list. Hey guys, you know, if you stick to these names, you're probably going to be safe. You're not going to make any mistakes.
Right.
Here's who we're going after, right? So I don't know that they're going to make a big offer to Julius Thomas, but we were kind of talking about it, right? Now, he had been back from the combine at this point for about 24 hours. So the following day, I see an item attributed to him where he said scuttlebutt in Indianapolis is that the Jags may pursue Julius Thomas. Now, when I talked to him the day before, he never brought that up. I'm the one that suggested to him that they might pursue Julius Thomas. Now, maybe he also heard that, but it just makes me wonder how some of these reports get out there. You can kind of watch how it all comes together, and you talk to one guy, the next thing you know, that guy is talking as if he's got the inside scoop on this football team. I mean, it just came, it was, the timing of that was very weird. And that's one small example of it. And clearly I haven't been talking to everybody around the National Football League, all these reporters, but other people do. People talk, and, you know, so a consensus gets formed. You know, the writers are all, for the most part, friendly. They all know each other. The guys that cover all the teams, they see each other on the road. They see each other at the combine and all these other places. And they swap information and stories. They don't give each other big scoops, but they talk about the scuttlebutt, what's being discussed about the teams they cover. So, you know, you always wonder how much truth there is in any of this reporting that goes on out there. If it's just, educated guessing and connecting of the dots that makes logical sense. Makes sense that Julius Thomas would be a target of the Jags. Doesn't mean that Dave Caldwell feels the same way.
No, it doesn't, but I do get the sense that even if Caldwell is saying to temper your expectations a little bit for free agency, I still get the sense that there is $60-plus million to spend, and there's a lot of young talent that is hitting free agency. And for a team that is desperately in need of some veteran talent on that offensive side of the ball and can go get some that is young and is still reaching the prime of their career, you would think that this would be a team that is ready to go. So even if they have to overspend for one of those guys, I would think they're going to overspend for one of them to get him to come here to Jacksonville.
$12 million for Randall Cobb?
Sure.
A year? Yeah?
Fine by me.
No problem?
No problem.
$12
million. Don't care.
It's a lot of cash.
I know it is.
For a guy who doesn't profile to be that number one outside the numbers deep threat down the field receiver. Not that he can't run deep.
No, I'm with you.
But he's primarily a slot guy. That's a lot of money
for
Randall Cobb. That's a lot of cash, man. And I mean, you've got to balance, Tony, if you're the Jags, I'm not saying they shouldn't spend money. Don't get me wrong. They should make some big-time signings. They should be in the mix. But there is a point when you say, how much is too much for a player? Because we see a guy like Mike Wallace a couple years ago. I'm not saying he's Randall Cobb. I'm just using him as an example.
Okay.
Miami needed a potent weapon in the passing game. They're getting rid of Brandon Marshall. They go out and they way overspend on Mike Wallace. Now, we're not even talking about Randall Cobb kind of money. He wasn't a great fit. Didn't get the ball enough, right? So they didn't maximize what he did down there. Now he's on the trading block. He's disgruntled. He's not happy. I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying Cobb's the same guy. You know, I don't know Randall Cobb. I get the sense that he's not the same guy as Mike Wallace, who was seen, as I recall, a bit prickly at times up in Pittsburgh.
Yes,
but
he was.
Regardless, I'm just saying, you know, you are Dave Caldwell, and you see the story with Ryan O'Halloran talking about, you know, the hiring of John Idzik from the Jets. He was the general manager for a couple of years. Didn't do so hot as a GM, but he's got a good reputation as a salary cap guy, and they've got to have an eye towards, all right, we've got all this space. We're projected to have a lot of space as of right now for the next couple of years, but obviously that changes with the guys we sign and what kind of cap hits they're going to carry with them in the next few years. Then let's hope, knock on wood, that some of these young players are drafting, develop to the point where you want to give them that big second contract, and boom, now you're eating up cap space. See, there's a balancing act. You don't just go out there and say, we have $64 million in cap space. Therefore, we're going to sign $64 million worth of players for right this instant.
No.
See, that's all I'm saying. I mean, there's still going to be a little bit of fiscal responsibility in there. I'm not saying be cheap about it. $12 million seems like a lot of money for Randall Cobb, I'll be frank with you.
No, it does seem like a lot of money, but I'm not bothered by spending that to go get that guy, because it feels like that's what you're going to have to do to get him in free agency. And I think this team needs something. Like, I've been saying for 3 weeks now, my offer to Julius Thomas would be 4 for $48. I'm telling you it would be. I'd give him $12 million a year right now to come to Jacksonville, because I feel like that would get him here.
I'd give him 10 because he turned down 8, I think. Well, anyway,
you
whatever.
You can offer him 10. I mean, offer him 4 for 40, and when he says, well, I'm getting 42 from blah, 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 48.
All right, do you want to know if Julius Thomas, and how do you discern this, if he is, as some reports indicated, a guy who's not willing to play through nagging injuries out in Denver? Was he?
That's something you got to vouch for.
Was he trying to protect his free agency upcoming status? We don't know, but that's some of the, you know, there have been reports from unnamed players, you know, off the record, not off the record, but you got what I say, anonymous quotes from the Denver locker room saying, hey, this guy wasn't willing to sacrifice his body for the team, basically. That
right.
He'd say, hey, I'm 90%, and people would be like, what are you kidding me? I'm 50% and I'm playing. And so, I don't know Julius Thomas. I'm not trying to cast aspersions on him. I'm just saying, if you're going to allocate that kind of money, there are other factors that factor into it. Devin McCourty is on the free agent market, as we thought he would be based on the reporting yesterday morning.
Right.
Definitely like to see them get Devin McCourty. I'm sure you would as well.
Oh, yeah.
How much that number will be, who knows? The franchise tag number would have been somewhere in the neighborhood of $9.5 million for a safety.
So you would think it would
safety.
Be north of that.
Maybe, because they didn't use the tag on him, right? They opted to, now they've got their own issues going on in the New England Patriots with Darrell Revis. Do they keep him? He's got a $20 million option bonus coming up. And now the Jets, this may be the one smart thing the Jets have ever done. They leaked out, they had to have leaked out, because how else do conversations between the owner and the front office get to the media other than through leaks? But they leaked out that if he becomes a free agent again, they're going to do everything they can to re-sign him. Well, the Patriots don't want to see that. So this could actually be a case of the Jets saying, you know what? We're going to drive up the perceived price of Darrell Revis, make it harder on the Patriots to figure out what they're going to do. And in the meantime, they decide, let's franchise a kicker. And maybe they're really trying to get a long-term deal done with Revis, but there's a lot of moving parts here. He knows if he sits pat, he's either going to get $20 million coming up this month in an option bonus, or he's going to hit free agency and somebody's going to pay him among the highest paid players at his position once again.
Sure, and maybe what Dave Caldwell was trying to say by tempering some expectations with free agency was more along the lines of, look, as I said, there are a lot of teams with a lot of money to throw around in this free agency period. The Jaguars have more than anybody else, but that doesn't mean they're the only ones that have money to throw around. There are a lot of teams that have $25, $30 million cap space in this offseason. So for these top-tier free agents, if you are a playoff team that feels like you are a player or two away, as opposed to Jacksonville, where you feel like you're probably an offseason, you need this whole offseason to go right for you to be in a position to start winning 8 games next season. If you're a team that's a player or two away, like in Indianapolis or somebody else in the league, then you're focusing so hard on maybe Ndamukong Suh or that type of player. So if you're Jacksonville, maybe you have the most money to spend. Maybe Caldwell's trying to say, we can see the writing on the wall and what's going to happen with these big-time free agents. That there's going to be 5 or 6 teams bidding for all of them, for every single one of them, and that eventually there's a price point that we're not willing to go north of. So maybe we'll be in talks with all these guys, but we're not landing those types of guys because we're not willing to pay, you know, Julius Thomas $11, $12 million a year. We don't want to pay Randall Cobb $11 million a year because we feel pretty good about our young wide receiver core. We're not paying those types of guys that type of money because that's what it's going to take to sign Randall Cobb and Julius Thomas. Fans out there need to understand that right now, too. That's the contract that those types of guys are going to get. They're going to be overpaid. Bottom line.
I'd rather pay Randall Cobb than Julius Thomas,
me
by
too.
The way, because I think he impacts you more on a volume basis, and he could be a primary return guy for you as well. We'll get into all that. I'll tell you why Julius Thomas may be in for even more money than you thought he was going to get prior to yesterday. Interesting story. We got tweeted in regards to Andre Johnson, longtime division rival. Now looks like he is headed for another franchise, either through trade, which is unlikely, or an eventual release from the Texans.
That contract.
No, nobody. That's why I said unlikely. He's got, I believe, $21 million over the next 2 years on that deal. But today, the fan feedback question of the day asks you, outside of the usual suspects, throw the Ndamukong Suhs and the Devin McCourties and the Julius Thomases out the window. Give us more of an under-the-radar name. Whatever you think that means, an under-the-radar free agent that you would like to see the Jaguars pursue. We'll discuss that today, 641-1010. If you'd like to get on board, you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler. If you'd like to get on the show today, that's a couple of the ways that you can do it. You can also post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, live at Everbank Field. Jaguars Today just kicking things off on 1010XL 92.5 FM. 641-1010, if you'd like to get on board today. Jaguars Today, a week away from NFL free agency. Tony, a week and a day from now, right? 8 or 9 days from now. It'll be fun, we think, but out of all these guys that we're talking about, McCourty, Cobb, Bulaga, give me some names, DeMarco Murray, Sue,
Julius Thomas,
right? Jordan Cameron.
Charles Clay,
Torrey Smith. Name the guys. Out of all of these guys, right, 90% of them, we're not going to mention their name again until the Jags play the team that they end up on. Am I right?
But we're I said, I think they're going to get one of these guys, but I don't – who that would be, I have no idea.
Right, no idea. I mean, you know, and what's the market going to be? Like, what's the market going to be for Torrey Smith compared to Randall Cobb? And, you know, do you want to spend – having just spent 2 second-round picks – on the wide receiver position, you want those guys to blossom. You took them in the second round because you expect them to blossom. Do you spend $12 million on a slot receiver, and then by default, you almost have to make sure you get him the football, right? And make him the focal point of your offense. Otherwise, what are you doing spending $12 million a year on that guy? I'm not saying you don't get it. I'm just saying these are questions I think Dave Caldwell has to kick around and Gus Bradley in conjunction. How are we going to use these guys? How much are we going to spend on them? Would it be better to spend $8 million a year on Torrey Smith? I don't know what the number is going to be for Torrey Smith.
Right.
Compared to $12 million for Randall Cobb. And then take that $4 million. Think about it, $4 million a year. You're in that kind of that Zane Beatles range of going out and signing a quality, what you felt like. You know, that was a 4:10 p.m. signing on day one of free agency last year. $4 million a year is nothing to sneeze at, right? You go out there and maybe use that and pick up a starter at some other position. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know what the answer is. Maybe. And that's what they're kind of crunching the numbers on right now. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board today. You're welcome to do that. Another thing to ponder. If you sign Ndamukong Suh, $20 million a year, average, whatever, right? I mean, that's what
at least
that's what it's going to be, right? What is JJ Watt's contract?
Honestly,
what is JJ Watt making right now? See if you can dig that up real quick, because everyone's saying he's going to break JJ Watt's record as the highest paid defensive player in the league. What was the total contract?
60 years, $100 million.
Yeah.
Six years, $100 million.
$100 million. His cap hit this year's 22.
So that's the cap hit. So his actual pay is less than $20 million a year.
Well, he's got a $10 million roster bonus this year, plus a $10 million base salary, plus $2 million of that signing bonus. That's part of that cap hit. So he's getting $20 million this year.
Right. He's getting I get that. But over the course of the deal, it's less than $20 million a year. I just throw this around like it's my money. It's Monopoly money.
Right.
Whatever. So let's say it took 6 years, $110 million. Dollars to get Ndamukong Suh. Okay, you get Ndamukong Suh. What's he playing? Is he taking Cedric Mark's spot? I mean, you just signed him to a long-term extension, right? Yes, he's injured right now. But let's assume Cedric Mark's, who John Osier, by the way, did a story on he and Roy Miller yesterday. You can read that at Jaguars.com and where they are in terms of their rehab and how hard they're working every day. Let's assume that you feel like at least by midseason, Cedric Marks is coming back fully healthy. And then not only the rest of this year, but for the rest of his contract, he's going to be a very good player for you. They play the same position.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to move Roy Miller off the field, who you also signed to a contract extension? They're not real. I mean, they're more the three technique penetrating defensive tackle type, Suh and Marks. So now people say, well, just get good players and then figure it out later. No, if you're going to spend $20 million a year, you better figure it out now. Okay, you better have a plan for how you're going to use these. So you're going to put Suh in Red Bryant's spot and let Red spell him coming in? I think he's strong enough to play that position, but for what the Jaguars ask of that Red Bryant position, that quote-unquote set-the-edge guy, right, hold at the point of attack, occupy a couple of blockers, let the other guys make plays. Well, you're not going to pay a guy $20 million bucks just to make somebody else make a play, right? You want to, now, not that he can't play above the X's and O's and make plays beyond that. I just think you got have a picture. Where are you going to use him? Because you're not pushing. What's the point? Cedric Mark's the best player on this football team right now. And I'm not talking about health factor. It's based on the way he played in 2014.
That doesn't mean he's as good a player as Ndamukong Suh.
I'm not saying that.
If you're going to go sign Ndamukong Suh, even if I had to play him at that left-end spot, I think he's a talented enough player that he can give you what Red Bryant gives you as far as setting the edge, plus he gives you pass rush. I think he's a good enough player that if you had to play him out there, you could, especially with what that position is asked to do in this defense. I think that he's good enough to do that, and he'll give you more than what you're getting from Red Bryant
in that
situation. But if they're going to spend that money, that's the idea.
See, I like the idea. You bring in Justin Houston. Right, you're going to ask, and obviously he got franchised, and we knew he was going to. But in a hypothetical world, if you bring in a Justin Houston, 22 sacks, you're going to play him at right end, and you're going to say, go kill the quarterback. Go continue to do what you've been doing that made you a commodity that we wanted to break the bank on. You're going to take Ndamukong Suh, or are you going to say, now we're going to ask you to do something else? We think you can do it. I don't know. I'm not saying don't sign Ndamukong Suh. I'm just saying, to me, I want to see it laid out then. If they sign Ndamukong Suh, all right, Gus Bradley, what's your base defense looking like, projected, right? Who are you lining up, and what are the roles for these guys? Now, what are you doing with Red Bryant? Is he just a situational player? I mean, that's not the biggest concern. I think he'd be an upgrade. I think he could play that position. I think you got to factor in, though, is he going to be as effective if you're asking him to do something else, or maybe you just do push Roy Miller out and make it a three-man rotation, and Suh and Marks and Miller, you're going to have two of those guys on the field at any given time. That's a lot of money to sink into the defensive tackle spot, though.
No, and it is, but you're talking about, I mean, when Suh and Marks are on the field and healthy, you're
unbelievable.
Yeah, plus whatever you potentially could be drafting a number three in this draft, so you could be getting a guy that is a pure pass rusher on the outside to help you out with that, too. With the amount of money they have to spend, I think that you can have a plan in place. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't have this conversation if they're going to pursue Ndamukong Suh. They should. And I enjoy having the talk with you right now. But he's such a good player. And players that are of the caliber of Ndamukong Suh do not hit free agency. It doesn't happen. in this league very often. So if you have the opportunity in the cap space to go sign a player that is as dominant as Ndamukong Suh is, I do think there's a little bit of you sign him and figure it out. If you're a team in a position to do it,
I think. Look,
but
they got plenty
of time to
figure
all,
it out.
I think he can play all three of those positions on the defensive line and do them all just as well or better than the people they have playing it now.
Right, I understand that. But if your best player, the position you're least in need of an upgrade at is where Cindric Marks plays when he's healthy.
Sure.
Right? I mean, because if he's the best guy, so. Okay, yes, he's better than Cindric Marks, but it's like, wow, that doesn't fix any of the other holes that you've got on your football team. Would you be better off saying, wow, we've got Cindric Marks, who, by the way, had the same 8.5 sacks as Ndamukong Suh last year, from that same position that doesn't produce a lot of sacks, and then maybe take that $20 million and go spend the $12 million on Cobb and the $8 million on whatever, and get two other areas? You know, could you get McCourty and Cobb, or Torrey Smith and McCourty, for the same thing you could get Ndamukong Suh for?
Maybe.
You probably could.
Maybe.
And to me, I think I'd rather do that and get two impact players than just the one guy, particularly because you already have a pretty damn good player at the primary position you'd like to see Ndamukong Suh line up at.
I may still prefer Suh. Even over
That's
those
fine.
Two players, I think Suh is a special player. I think McCourty is a really good free safety. I don't think he's a special free safety, and I think Torrey Smith is an okay wide receiver. I think that Ndamukong Suh is special.
I agree with that. I agree with that, but I think for the Jags' overall picture,
they got a lot they need, but
they need
of that caliber. They're just never available.
I understand. And look, here's the thing too. You may make that $20 million offer, and it may not matter. May take somebody's $22 million offer, or somebody's $30 million. I don't think he's going to get 30, but he's going to get $50 million guaranteed. You
right, which is what we were just talking. I mean, a team like the Indianapolis Colts, they have over $40 million to spend. You think they could use an Ndamukong Suh in the middle of that defensive line? They got nothing. They got nothing in the middle of that defensive line right now. They could desperately use a guy like that.
All right, let's get a couple calls going here. 641-1010. Steve, you're up first today on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Hey, you know, y'all made a great point right before break when you talked about Dave Caldwell in a very tough spot about maybe not wanting to spend that kind of money because of past issues. Now, I'm just saying, you guys are bringing it up. Everybody's bringing it up. I can't imagine that they don't sign at least one or two of these big names. If they don't, I'm not sure anything he can say will be good enough for the fans.
What if they're connected in pursuing them all? What if they make an offer to five or six of them and they just opt to go somewhere else for whatever reason? I mean,
opt to go somewhere else because of other issues. But if it's because of the money, and I say this, you're right on. We can go backwards to, who was it, Jerry Porter? How many years ago, wasn't that the receiver to come out of that we signed and he caught
Oakland,
like two balls?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we know, we get it. But right now, you guys are spot on. We got to have somebody in here for leadership skills, you know, veteran playing. And then, you know, let's touch on Ndama. Do you think they would pass on him because of his, what's the word I'm looking for, his issues? You know, the good guy image.
We'll call it the chippiness of his play.
I'm okay with it.
I don't think they would pass on him for that. No, I think they'd have a bigger issue with a guy like Greg Hardy and his off the field stuff. Despite the fact that he faces no further legal jeopardy,
can we consider that a thumbs up from the coach?
I got a peace sign from Gus just walking right by. I think he said we're going to get two of these guys in the first few minutes of free agency. I think that's what those two fingers meant. I hope. I don't know. Steve, look, there's so many angles to this, man. And I look again. I've been saying this. And the caller brought up a point yesterday, if you didn't catch the whole show. He said a few years ago he called and made the point that he, even if they didn't get Vincent Jackson, he wanted to know that the Jags pursued him because they were in such desperate need of a receiver. And I said at the time, this was after he had already signed a ridiculously big contract with Tampa that I thought was too much money. I said, would you have signed that, would you have paid that money for Vincent Jackson? He said, no, but I just wanted to know we pursued him. And to me, I do think it's important this year for Jaguar fans because there's so many circumstances that go into it. They know they have the most cap space in the league. They've been told they've been building towards this free agency period. They've gone through these slow process of let's try some mid-tier guys and hope we hit, and they have hit on some, and they've whiffed on some other for 2 years.
Saying the third year was going to be the year they spend, right. Then you spend the beginning of this offseason saying we made a mistake by not spending last year.
And there are so many players who are in the wheelhouse of what they need. To me, it's not just about, hey, let's just make an offer to make it look good. It's like, let's make an offer because that player is good. And I never thought Vincent Jackson was worth the money that the Bucks paid him. And that was a major sticking point. That and I chilled out a little bit, too. I don't drop the idiot bomb as much as I used to. But
right.
It still is in my repertoire. But, the thing of it is, it shouldn't be an issue. They should be pursuing these guys, right? And they should, maybe not all the guys you want. Maybe they opt and say, maybe they take my line of thinking. They say, you know what? Sue, we could tie up all our time. He's going to want to, look, what is the chance Ndamukong Suh signs with the first team that he visits? I don't know. Is it good? Is it bad? Does he want to shop himself around? Are you going to pull the offer from Ndamukong Suh? Here's the thing. Let's say you offer Ndamukong Suh this 6-year, $110 million deal, whatever it is, right?
Right.
Okay, hey, I need a few days to think about it. Well, a few days? Well, free agents are flying off the board. What are you going to do? You going to wait on Ndamukong Suh at that point in time? And have a chance to get left holding nothing in terms of the big-name guys as they sign? Or do you say, you know what? Sign it now. Don't sign it now. We're going to spend that $20 million a year in the next couple of days. And you can take it now. All these factors have to play into this, and I think it makes it fascinating.
By the way, 5 for $55 million, would you spend that on Cobb?
5 for $55 million? Yeah, I'd probably do that.
All right, that's what Jackson got.
Is that what he got? But that was, and keep in mind, that's what he got a few years ago.
No, I know.
Okay, and the salary cap is much bigger now. Okay, so yeah, I guess I would spend 5 for $55 million. So $12 million's not crazy out of the row. If you're going to spend 5 for $55 million, would you spend 5 for $60 million? I guess so, right?
And probably.
Especially because he can impact your return game. And he's only 24 years old, and there's a lot of things going for Randall Cobb in that regard. So I guess I would, but again, 3 years ago, whatever it was where they signed Vincent Jackson, that was not the money I would have spent on Vincent Jackson at that point in time. Although, you look back and you could have used Vincent Jackson over the last few years too, right? One quick note, we'll take a quick timeout, come back with more of your calls. Charles Clay gets a transition tag yesterday. Same deal that Alex Mack got last year. Jags pursued the Cleveland center, signed him to an offer sheet. Cleveland had a week to match, and they ultimately match. To me, that takes Clay off the board, right? I mean, because in the end, you're going to do Miami's negotiating for him because they're going to keep the guy. They've seen reports that the Jets and Bills in their own division are going to pursue Clay potentially. Others are going to pursue him as well. Miami throws a transition tag because they don't want to lose the guy. So you go out there and you work and you get him to agree. Yeah, 5-year, $40 million, whatever. I don't know, whatever the number is. And then Miami just goes, rubber stamp, we'll take that. Thank you very much for doing all the hard work.
5 and 40 certainly isn't going to get him away from Miami. With the transition tag already being 7, I don't think 5 and 40 would get him away.
I don't know, though.
There's probably something north of that where Miami would say, all right. But I don't know if the Jags are going to be offering $9
million. 5 and 40 is a lot of money for Charles Clay,
Charles
I think.
Clay.
Charles Clay had 3 touchdown catches last year.
I know.
Everyone's going cuckoo for Charles Clay. He's got great athletic ability. Is he worth $8 million a year? I mean, my goodness, I know the transition tag is $7 million plus, but that's a 1-year deal, and it's kind of like a placeholder. He's not Justin Houston. Justin Houston knows he could go out there and get a record-setting deal if you're on the open market, and hence he's upset with the franchise tag, despite the fact that during last season he said he'd be happy getting the franchise tag.
$8 million a year, by the way, would make Charles Clay the third highest paid tight end in the league.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, that's going to change because Julius Thomas is probably going to get north of that. So he'd be fourth.
So it's Graham and Gronk ahead of him, right? Would be the
Graham's
only two guys.
Graham's getting 10, Gronk's getting 9.
Yeah, and if Gronk is worth 9,
yeah.
Charles Clay is worth 8.
Right.
In
Gronk
my book.
Was 2012, they did that contract. So they may be taking another look at that in the next
couple
years. But,
Tony, again, keep in mind, as somebody pointed out, look, overpaying now. This is from Jason Brown on Twitter. Jason Brown, BPBC, says overpaying now will not be overpaying in the markets moving forward. Players aren't getting cheaper, and the salary cap is going up, and that's a valid point. You know, what's overpaying now? Well, you know in free agency you're going to have to overpay. The bottom line is when the dust settles, do you want to be paying Charles Clay what you're what New England's right. playing Rob Gronkowski,
and
for
it's,
goodness sake.
It's, one of, it's what the new CBA and these rules with the cap have set up. Teams are getting more space every year, which is why they're, half the league has $30 million to spend in this offseason, because that number keeps going up and you keep getting to roll this money over. At some point, you're going to have to spend it on something. Why not Julius Thomas and Randall Cobb? And Ndamukong Suh. And Devin McCourty.
And Brian Bulaga. Right. We want them all! We want them all, just
then,
like you.
Next offseason, Mercedes Lewis and Puz come off the books, and by the way, you got $40 million again.
641-1010 is the phone number if you'd like to get on board talking free agency. I'm only a week away, Tony. I have a feeling this won't be the last time we discuss some of these names going out there. Andre Johnson looks like he won't be long for the Houston Texans. Where might he land? We'll discuss that coming up as well. And your calls welcome. It's Jaguars Today live from Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Today, got this tweet, went to a lot of us. This one from Carrie the writer, at C Straight the One. On Twitter, is from Lil Duval on Instagram, and of course, Jacksonville-based rapper, and he put out, when Andre Johnson came to my show Sunday, I told him to come play for the Jaguars. Andre said, quote, I'll retire first, then I made him get out of my dressing room. Well, good on you, Lil Duval, but Andre Johnson wouldn't appear to be very interested in coming to Jacksonville. I'm not saying the Jags should pursue Andre Johnson anyway at 34 years old. If you're not going to bring in a star guy, I either want one of two things. I either want Randall Cobb, Macklin, Torrey Smith, no doubt is going to start on this football team, right? And because if you pay him, you got to feed him the football, okay? I don't want to necessarily force feed the football to a 34, 35 year old guy, even if he is the best guy right now, because his shelf life is going to erode quickly. And I'd rather spend that time getting a mid-level guy and force feed the ball to Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee.
Sure.
Okay. But Andre Johnson, to me, the first thought I had yesterday when I heard that he's been given permission to seek a trade, he basically said, look, cut me or trade me, because he said that they told him, be ready to catch 40 balls next year. That's what you're going to catch, about half your output. And from his point of view, he's probably looking around like, okay, you got DeAndre Hopkins. What else you got here that's pushing me down to 40 catches? Unless you're going to run the ball twice as much. By the way, Houston ran the ball last year, second most run percentage of any team in the league. How much further down could they go in that regard? Andre Johnson in Indianapolis, to me, makes ton of sense. You know, Reggie Wayne, I think, is going to move on. At least I don't think they'll bring him back. Andre Johnson, a slightly younger version of that veteran guy who's more of a possession guy right now. T.Y. Hilton on the other side. And you give Dante Moncrief one more year to really fully blossom until he's ready for a starting role in Indianapolis. Don't want to see anything happen that helps the Colts, but I think just from a logical standpoint,
yeah,
it makes sense.
Unless he hates the Colts as much as he apparently hates the Jaguars.
Maybe he does. I wonder if it's hatred or more he's looking around and saying, look, I've been to the playoffs twice in my career.
Yep.
Won one playoff game in my entire career. Do I want to go to a franchise who basically my tenure in the league overlapping with theirs has been about as successful, right? A couple of playoff appearances,
right,
and one playoff win. I mean, it's almost identical. He's probably ring chasing. If I'm Andre Johnson, now he sounds like he wants to be an integral part of an offense, but hey, come catch 50 balls from Tom Brady or go catch 85 more balls from Tennessee. Which one are you going to do? Right?
Sure.
I would think at this stage, Andre Johnson would be more interested.
He's got plenty of money, man. Go get a ring if you can.
He seems like he's still interested in putting up some numbers, however.
I mean, you are talking, like, he caught 85 passes last year. It's not like he can't still be an effective option for somebody in the National Football League. He's just, the average per catch has been going down for the last 5 or 6 years, and he's become, like you said, more of a possession-type receiver. That doesn't mean there aren't teams that need that type of guy. As you mentioned, Indianapolis lost that guy last year with Reggie Wayne basically dropping off the cliff during the season, so he makes a lot of sense for them. New England can always use a guy like
Andre Johnson.
A bunch
of teams that could probably use him,
right.
Yeah.
Denver would probably find a way to use him pretty effectively underneath a guy like Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, there are places he could go, And like I said, there's a lot of teams that have money to spend. So it's when Andre Johnson gets released because nobody's trading for him, he's going to have suitors and going to have options for places to go and probably places to go where he can win right away.
Right, and for a lot cheaper than you're going to see a lot of these young guys. Now,
right.
The reason you pay for Randall Cobb a premium is because he's 24 years old. Right, he's going to play the season as a 25-year-old player. You can expect that his you know, whatever contract you sign him to, a five-year deal, the peak of his career is going to take place throughout the entire lifetime of that contract, barring injury. So you feel good about that, that you're not wasting money on the back end. Andre Johnson played 78 games with Matt Schaub, by far the best quarterback that he's played with. He was okay at times. You know, he was pretty good a couple of seasons. You know, wasn't ever spectacular, put up some decent numbers despite being a mostly run-based offense on occasion. He was the best of a pretty bad lot. 78 games, that's the majority of, or I guess a little, maybe not the majority, a little less than half of the games that he's played in his career. He had played 57 games with David Carr. That was abysmal. I can't believe David Carr started that many games in Houston, to be honest with you. He played 12 with Ryan Fitzpatrick, played 10 each with Case Keenum and Sage Rosenfels. Played 5 with T.J. Yates as a starter, 3 with Tony Banks, 2 with Dave Ragone, a couple with Ryan Mallett, and 1 with Matt Leinart. So it's not like it was exactly, you know, a who's who of Canton, Ohio's soon-to-be residents of the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Right.
So, and 2 of the last 4 years, the Texans ranked 2nd in the league in terms of highest percentage of runs compared to passes in their offense, and they typically been in the bottom or the top third of the league in terms of how run-centric they are in that offense. They still put up some pretty good numbers. Hall of Fame for Andre Johnson when it's all said and done?
Probably. I don't know about first ballot or anything like that, but I think he's the guy that eventually gets in.
I think you're right. He's going to get on the list, and there's going to be, it looks like for the foreseeable future, a backlog at wide receiver. That's kind of why we saw Tim Brown get in this year. They admitted as much. Like, if we didn't put him in now, there's more of them coming down the line, right? Because Marvin Harrison's waiting. He gets in ahead of Andre Johnson. Terrell Owens going to get in ahead of Andre Johnson. Now, these guys could be long off the ballot by the time Andre Johnson is eligible for it. But a lot of wide receivers in this era are going to continue to put up big numbers. Where will he rank all time when it's said and done? Well, he's still playing. So if you assume he plays 3 or 4 more years, even if he's catching 50 balls a year, a couple of 100 more receptions, he's already in the top 10. In terms of career receptions, he could go, you know, probably top 5 and probably be tough at that point, even with a lack of postseason success, to keep him out.
Sure, and the numbers he put up with the quarterbacks you just mentioned. I mean, I think there is something to say for a guy that I think for, you know, 6-7 years of his career was considered a top 3 to 5 receiver in this league and has been productive with nothing at the quarterback position throughout most of his career. I think eventually that's the type of guy that gets in.
Alfie Crow tweeted me, he put out a story on Big Cat Country. I hadn't seen this before I threw 6 years, $110 million out there. That's the exact figure he came up with for a prospective Ndamukong Suh contract. I'm sure what he did, took J.J. Watt, gave him a little boost, much like we did here, but you can check that out at BigCatCountry.com. If you're so inclined, he's an advocate for doing it. But and right at the end, and I'm not picking on Alfie, but right at the end he says, you know, I am in favor of signing him and then figuring out how to use him. You can figure it out now. I mean, that's the thing. It's not like it's a new idea that Ndamukong Suh is going to be on the free agent market. There was a good possibility of that happening the entire time. So as they're sitting there in their meetings, I'm quite sure they're going to have an idea of, you know, in fact, there might be a million ways that they try to use him, you know. You're going to put him on there as many reps as he can take at,
right,
at some position.
I imagine that in a building like this, the idea of Sue, and I don't know how seriously they are or aren't going to pursue, you know, Ndamukong Suh, but I got a feeling if you went and talked to the defensive staff, that if you said, here, we'll give you Ndamukong Suh, what do you think you could do with him? They would just drool over what they could do with a guy like Ndamukong Suh combined with guys like Cedric Marks and Roy Mills. I think that they would, that's a problem they would love to have in that defensive line meeting room on a week-to-week basis.
Correction, Lil Duval is a comedian, not a rapper. Somebody told me he was a rapper. My bad to all the people who tweeted that he's a comedian and not a rapper.
Very funny, by the way. Very funny.
Is he? All right. Well, there you go. Well, apologies to Lil Duval. I guess I'm not up on my comedy or
my rap.
Sorry,
Duval.
Check him out on MTV2's Guy Code. He's really good. The show is called Guy Code. You like it?
Yeah, I
think
I heard you. I don't have MTV2.
Oh.
So
that'd be a problem.
Which one do they play the music videos on? Because I don't have that one.
Neither.
They don't.
None of them?
Neither.
Nothing plays the music videos.
Are there only two of them?
There's MTV. There
might be
and
three.
MTV2. There's
MTV
VH1
Trace.
Play videos.
Nobody plays any more videos?
Fuse doesn't play videos.
Why do they
often.
Even make videos anymore? Because you
know.
Can still, some people still make them. Right?
Well, they're on YouTube.
Yeah, but I guess you make money off that if you get enough views.
You're getting 100 million hits on music videos on YouTube still.
Nobody's getting 100 million hits on a music video. Who's
yes,
getting
they are.
Who's getting 100 million hits?
Katy Perry?
Justin Bieber?
100 million?
Yeah.
All right, I can understand why Katy Perry makes a music video then, I guess. How many people are getting 100 million hits on YouTube for their music video?
And Gangnam Style from 2012, 2.25 billion.
Yeah, but that's because it's kooky. All right.
You!
It worked. Hey, look, what do I know about it? All the kids out there making money on the interwebs these
Apparently
days.
People still want music videos, but you
I
just
guess
have
so.
To go online
they,
to
they
get
just,
them.
They just distribute them differently, so good for them. I just like to be lazy, turn on a channel, and lay there in the bed and watch what's on the television. It's way too much work to go surfing for it. I don't watch music videos, Tony. I just go back. And I play my 70s music on YouTube that usually doesn't have a video. It's sometimes a scroll of the lyrics. Sometimes it's a still photo that accompanies it, maybe a picture of the album cover, what have you.
12,000 views.
It's yeah, 12,000 views, right. And half of those are me.
That's right.
I keep going back to my favorites. All right, we'll come back with this state in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL. More of your calls, if you're so inclined, at 641-1010. 1 week till NFL free agency opens up. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date, 1970, March the 3rd, Tony Smith, Rick Meyer would go on to win three Heisman trophies. Oh, wait, that was only in Beano Cook's mind. Rick Meyer was born on this date in 1970. He would then go on, after not winning three Heisman trophies at Notre Dame, to be the second pick of the 1993 NFL draft to one Drew Bledsoe. Remember the Bledsoe-Meyer debate? You're probably too young to really remember. I don't know.
Nope.
It was probably more of a debate, I think, even than Manning-Leaf was in terms of how close it was. And ultimately, New England went with Bledsoe. Clearly the right choice there. Rick Meyer never even made a Pro Bowl. I think he had four Hall of Famers out of this draft year. Willie Roth and Jerome Bettis in the first round. Strahan in round two. And then Will Shields went in round three of that draft. Interestingly, at least to me, it was an eight-round draft back in 1993. Rounds four through seven produced seven future Pro Bowl players. Round eight produced six by itself. How about that? The eighth round, Troy Brown, Craig Hendrick, the kicker, Jesse Armstead, excellent player, Blaine Bishop, Elvis Gerbach, and Trent Green all eventually made the Pro Bowl. Trent Green is two picks away from being Mr. Irrelevant. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on Gate Parkway. Call 620-9225 the next time you need cosmetic work, or if you're in the market for a family dentist, visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Mentioned Darnell Dockett yesterday. He was released by the Arizona Cardinals. Apparently, the team offered him a one-year deal worth up to $4 million with incentives. Dockett was scheduled to make $6.8 million under his contract for the upcoming season, but coming off an ACL injury, the Cardinals obviously decided not to give him that kind of money, and after being released, Dockett will find out if he can go get more than $4 million on the free agent market. Pittsburgh Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell is still subject to punishment for his DUI during the preseason last season. The standard suspension from the league for DUIs has been two games, but that usually involves alcohol. Some believe that because Bell's DUI involved marijuana, that he could be suspended for up to four games next season, so fantasy owners, keep your eye on that one. And a couple other pieces of news. Draft prospect Jameis Winston is in Tampa today for a visit with the Buccaneers. He's expected to just stay for today and then get out of town. And wide receiver Brian Hartline scheduled to visit with the Cleveland Browns later on today.
All right, a very strong update on your part right there. That is the Honda drive around the NFL. Let's get a couple of calls going here before we break next. Let's go to John. John, you're on Jaguars today. Good morning. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
Good.
Okay, I have a question concerning Blackman. Is the league obligated to come to the Jaguars and say, okay, we're going to reinstate this guy? If so, we can forget about Randall Cobb and Macklin and put that money towards somebody else, don't you think?
The league is not obligated to do that. Justin Blackman is not obligated, but he has to get the ball rolling by applying for reinstatement.
It's on Blackman.
Right. It's on, the timetable is on him. And, you know, for all we know, maybe it's happened in the last few days. Not that I've heard anything like that, but I know Dave Caldwell expressed a desire to know by the time the NFL draft rolls around. Well, keep in mind, if Justin Blackman applied for reinstatement today, the league's got 60 days. Roger Goodell has 60 days to rule on it. And I don't think you can, no matter, even if you knew Justin Blackman were cleared to return for all off-season activities, how can you count on him, right? So I get the point, though. If you think maybe Blackman can help, maybe you get a lesser guy in there. I think their approach has been, I think it's the right approach, Tony, even if he's there, just pretend he's not. Because you can't, how can you count on the guy who's let you down this many times?
Right.
And if he proves you wrong, fantastic, because he's still extremely affordable and under Jaguar control with his rookie contract for a couple more years. So, hey, you know what? What's wrong with having Randall Cobb, Justin Blackman, Allen Robinson, and Marquise Lee? And yep. Allen Hurts, that's your five.
I think we're 58 days from the draft now, so we're now inside that window.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, get moving. Get with it. Now, like I said, I don't know. Maybe he has. I don't know if that gets made public,
sure.
What the timetable would be for that to come out.
Honestly, we get it from a fan perspective. You want to see Justin Blackman back in a Jaguars uniform. From a Blackman perspective, whatever he's been doing with rehab and trying to get things back together in his life, he needs to be in the right place before he goes for that reinstatement, too. So if he's still trying to work some things out, we have no idea
right.
what's going on with Justin Blackman. But if he still feels like he's not in a healthy enough place to come back and play football, then he needs to be in that place before he applies for that reinstatement, too. So who knows what the timetable is.
And none of it's going to impact free agency, because that timetable is not going to get that accelerated. Maybe at this point you're hopeful to know by the draft. There's no guarantee at this point that you're even going to know. And again, I think it's best served for Jaguar fans for them to just forget about him. And if he pops up and there he is,
hooray.
Look, think about him if you want to, but don't focus in on him as part of the puzzle.
Make no plans with him as part of it.
No, and then you won't be disappointed, and then maybe you'll be pleasantly surprised. John, thank you for the call. Let's go to Curtis next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Curtis.
Hey, how's it going? I have a question. I know everybody's talking about Devin McCourty as far as the safety coming in free agency. What about Raheem Moore? He was a pretty good safety, and he's up and I believe should be up in free agency this year as well.
I don't think Raheem Moore's all that great, Tony, to be honest with you. I watched Devin McCourty closely, particularly in the postseason, knowing that the Jags had a need in the position, and I thought McCourty was outstanding. Now, is it easier to be an outstanding free safety when you've got Darrell Reeves and Brandon Browner running around out there? Well, that's a factor, right? But I've seen a lot fewer blown coverages from Devin McCourty in the time I've watched him than I have from Raheem Moore. I think Raheem Moore may get overpaid simply for the benefit that it is a thin free safety group out there. And I've said it to you several times. I don't know if you'd have any interest in coming here, but I'll take Entrell Roll on a short-term, you know, 1 or 2 year deal as a stopgap if I have to. Again, you can't fix every position at once necessarily. If I can get McCourty, I'll spend to get McCourty because he's young, ascending, very good player. He's already got a ring, so he can go chase the money. Come chase our money down here. But, you know, beyond that, look, it may be a case where you sit there and say, well, you know what? We swung and missed on a couple of the big name guys. We got to get a stopgap to improve the roster. Maybe we'll able to draft one. Maybe somebody will fall in our lap and it's a weak class of safeties this year. But at any position, you kind of go through this thought process. But I don't, me personally, maybe I'm not watching the right tape. I don't have all that much interest in Raheem Moore.
I think Raheem Moore's probably better than what they have on the roster. I think he would be an upgrade over what they have currently on the roster here in Jacksonville. I think McCourty is clearly the free safety of this offseason, which is why the price is going to go up and up and up for a guy like that compared to what it would be maybe in past years. But there is such a premium right now because of the just scarcity of guys that can truly play center field for your team and go sideline to sideline and give you the flexibility if you have a guy that you feel like can play in the box as effectively as Jonathan Cyprian to come down and do that. There's such a scarcity of players like that. If you're looking at it in the NFL draft, you're talking about probably waiting until day three before there's any kind of value at that position, and then you're getting a guy to develop into a future starter. I like the idea of Antro Roll. If you can't get Devin McCourty, more than I like the idea of Raheem Moore. But based on watching the way that Roll has handled the last couple of years in New York, I don't think he's looking to come to a rebuilding team. I think if he's going to sign a 1 or 2 year deal, he wants to go to a team that's ready to win now, as opposed to one that is looking to try to develop something and grow a little bit. He's been really frustrated the last 2 years up there in New York with the performance of that team. I don't think he's looking to come to
I get that, but he does have rings, and, you know, that's kind of why I want him, because he's not satisfied. You know, I think Antro Roll...
I think they could use some of that attitude.
He fits in with the old-school Miami chip-on-his-shoulder kind of attitude, and I love what Antro Roll brings to the table. Again, I'm not saying this is the focal point or should be the focal point. I'm just throwing a name out there that... the thing with Raheem Moore, you say, well, you still... You know what? If he's better, go spend the money. Well... This is somewhat of a consideration as well. Much like the Jags this year rolling over like $21 million in cap space, unused cap space from last year, they can roll over. If you say, you know what, we've got X amount left, let's go spend $6 million a year on Raheem Moore, I don't know, you know, whatever the number is. Well, that's $6 million in cap space that, you know, maybe could you find a guy who could give you 85% of Raheem Moore for $1 million? You know what I mean? And so there's always a balancing act. You don't just spend willy-nilly. This franchise is never just going to say, well, let's spend every last penny. You do that maybe if you're on the brink. But right now they're still in a building process. I'm not saying, look, they've obviously got to get impact players right now. But I don't know if Raheem Moore... Just because he happens to be the second guy, I think the gulf between him and McCourty is going to result. I'd rather overpay McCourty, who I know, at least I feel, is a really good player. I'd rather overpay him at the top than overpay the next guy just because he happens to be the next guy.
I agree.
I agree. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you a week to go. Can you just imagine what it's going to be like next Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday as hopefully the Jags start to ink some of these guys to the dotted line. It's Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, we roll on Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Saw an item, the Jags showing interest in Brian Arakpo, according to said item. Diana Marie Russini. On Twitter, Tony, my source on this one, the Jags are very interested in Brian Arakpo. And I saw some speculation. Well, the Jags are going to sign at least one top-flight free agent. Arakpo could be that player. What? No. That better not be the big name. Look, Arakpo, if they think he can help, if they're able to structure a contract that protects him because he's got a pretty freaky injury history. I think he's torn a pec muscle 3 separate times.
Yep.
Ending his season. But he is a multi-time Pro Bowler. He's had, you know, plenty of sacks in his career. That's his primary job, to be a pass rusher. I'm not saying Brian Arakpo couldn't help this team. He could for the right price and in the right situation. But I hope that's not the biggest of the big names.
No, you don't want that to be the biggest of the big names. 6'3", 255 for Brian Arakpo. So he fits what they're looking for out there on that side. As a pass rusher, he has missed significant time in 2 of the last 3 years, though.
I'm kind of, you know...
Like, if you were worried about a guy like Jason Pierre-Paul because of some injury history coming in, it's not even close
right.
to the same as
but,
Brian
But
Arakpo.
It's also not close to me what I would value those guys at in terms of how much I would offer Jason Pierre-Paul. I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul is going to make, what, $14 million or whatever with the franchise tag for defensive ends. And I don't bat an eye at the Giants retaining him under that tag.
No.
There's no way you're going to franchise Arakpo if you're the Washington Redskins with his injury history.
No, and the talk is, look, those two sides have been talking all offseason. It came out early that the Redskins were trying to figure out some way to keep Brian Arakpo because he is still a relatively young, effective pass rusher. You're talking about a guy that's 28 years old. He's got 40 sacks in his career. but they haven't been able to come to terms, which means Arakpo clearly wants to see what his value is going to be on the open market at this point in time, and we'll find out here in about a week.
Pernell McPhee is growing on me a little bit, and I don't know. We don't have any ideas. Again, Dave Caldwell doesn't take the list and bring it down here every morning and go over it with us. Here's who we're really honing in on.
One more time. You want to sound brilliant?
Yes. Here you go. Drop Pernell McPhee in your conversation. But the former now Baltimore Raven only started 6 games in the last few years, but was a very effective pass rusher.
He's what he is.
He's built like a defensive end, Tony. Yeah. I know he played outside linebacker for him, but he's even bigger than Arakpo. I think coming out of Mississippi State, he was like 6'3", 275. And Pro Football Focus graded him the second most effective outside linebacker behind Justin Houston last year. So he's a guy that maybe isn't a household name, but could be in line for a pretty significant payday and could really help this team. You wonder, too, in the position they're in. I mean, do you just sit there? I think you have to sit there when you look at the draft and factor it in and just say, whatever comes to us, right? Because you can't sit there and say, well, we're sitting at 3. We know we can get a pass rusher there, right? And we know at most one guy, Leonard Williams, is probably going to come off before our pick, other than Jameis Winston or Mariota. At least, you know, one of those quarterbacks is going in the top 2. Maybe both. So we know we can devise a very short list and guarantee that we're going to get one of these players. But you got to leave open the possibility that Philly or Cleveland or somebody wows you and knocks your socks off with a trade down offer. So you can't get locked into that thinking. I think you sign the best players you can get and you hope for the best. And if something great lands to you that duplicates that position, if it's pass rush, you got to consider taking it anyway. If you did sign Sue...
Well, you can't have enough pass rush.
Well, let's say you signed Ndamukong and Sue to a $110 million deal.
Uh-huh.
Does that take Leonard Williams off the table? I mean, because can you play Leonard Williams, Cindric Marks, Ndamukong and Sue, and Roy Miller? You can't play them all, right?
Again, I'll take that problem.
Yeah, but you say that, but then you have to actually figure out how does this work together. And
well, I get that you have to figure something out at that point in time, but if you like Leonard Williams that much, you like him that much because you feel like he does have flexibility in what he can do in your scheme. And you brought in Ndamukong Suh because you had some kind of plan in place for him. I don't know that bringing in Suh means that you don't go draft Leonard Williams if you get the opportunity to. If it means that, you know, Roy Miller takes a seat on the bench more than he would have, okay. Well, maybe you didn't expect that to...
All right, back here on Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Don't know what happened, Tony.
I know what happened.
Red Hot Takes blew us off the air.
No, Roy Miller apparently was in the building working out.
Oh, was he?
And he was very upset with me. And he came in here, and in the process of tackling me to the ground, hit our board and machines, and everything just went haywire from that point forward. I'm sorry, Roy.
Oh, I see. I witnessed all that. I thought that was incidental contact.
I'm not saying that I want you benched because of whatever they're going
to
do in this offseason. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it's a good problem to have for guys that are that good for those 3 spots. That's all I'm saying, Roy. I'm not trying to take any shots at you, buddy. So, you know, keep the workout going and leave me out of it, please.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. If you'd like to get on board, 641-1010 is the way to do it. Gil has waited the longest. He's up next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Gil. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, guys. Love that mountain, Mississippi Queen. That's great stuff. Listen, man, I was listening last week. You had John Osher on, and John Osher was pretty much, you know, he's great. He's good. We're so fortunate. We got year-round football here. But you guys were talking about John Osher was sort of defending. We're going to build it through the draft. And you pointed out that 5 of the 6 guys on the defensive front that made such an impact last year were free agents.
Yeah.
Which I was so grateful you made that point. And I was hoping that they do something like that on the offensive line this year. I want to see competition and depth. I tell you, I looked at it. I don't follow it as close as you guys do, but I know I saw a guard that's up there that's supposed to be highly rated. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a left tackle. I don't care if it's a center. I mean, we love Brandon Linder, but one twisted ankle. You know, I would love to see about 7, 8, 9 guys on that offensive line, and I'm wondering who you guys see out there for the offensive line.
All right. There's several guys. I mean, my focus has been primarily at right tackle, and I think that's where their focus will be, too. I think they could bring in some – I don't think they're going to bring in a big-name interior lineman, Tony. If they do, it's a center, okay? I don't think they're going to bring in Mike Iapati.
No,
right?
Me either.
Because you're gonna have to spend too much on him. You already got you love Linder. Linder's your guy, okay? And Beatles, you got a lot of money invested in. I don't think you're gonna invest a lot of money in another guy just to have one big money guy push another big money guy out. I think you're gonna roll. Now, could they go with a lesser, like a vet, you know, who comes in for $1 million or two a year, whatever, you know, I don't know what the number would be.
Sure.
Who's played, you know, veterans played some NFL, some starting experience. Sure, they could do something like that. But in terms of the big name interior linemen, unless they surprise me, I don't even think they're really going to get, you know, I don't think they're going to be in the market for like a Rodney Hudson, the best center, perhaps on the market, something like that.
Right.
And they're not looking to push Luke Joeckel out of the starting lineup.
No.
Now, Bulaga, Doug Free, one of these guys, who's the guy in Dallas, Jeremy Parnell, is it?
Yeah, the
right?
other tackle, yeah.
Let's get both Parnells, him and Parnell McPhee. and bring in a guy like that, let him push for a starting spot at right tackle, I think is very possible. I don't think they're going to, I don't think they see the offensive line quite in the same disastrous way that some Jag fans see the offensive line.
No, but I do think when you take a look at this team and this roster, the offensive line is a position where you need to be increasing the competition along that line.
Yes.
And not just the right tackle, but at the center spot and potentially one of those guard spots going into the future. You really like what you have in Linder. The team invested so much in Luke Joeckel with that draft pick that he's going to be the left tackle for the next couple of years at least. But you have issues at right tackle. Maybe you do or don't at left guard and at center. So you bring in guys, and not necessarily the frontline guys, but you bring in guys to add competition to that offensive line. They gave up 70 sacks last year. It has to be better.
Agreed.
And while you believe in the youth along that offensive line, if you're the front office of the Jaguars, that doesn't mean that you don't bring in guys that help you get better at those positions, and I think they will.
I mean, keep in mind that the contract you signed Zane Beatles to was agreed to at 410. Last year in free agency. So he was like the first priority signing guy. Iapati's going to sign, I would think, fairly quickly somewhere. I don't think you're going to make that kind of investment in another guy and have that investment in two guys at one guard spot and let them battle it out. Like you said, yes, increased competition. Maybe they go with a Steve Wisniewski or somebody like that, the Raiders center, right? Greg Olson coached out
Maybe,
there in Oakland.
Yeah.
Maybe they go something like that and they make Bowanko more of a swing guy. Where he can back up center, obviously. He can back up your guard spots for you. Maybe they do something like that. I think
Which is what he was intended to be basically when they drafted him.
You draft a guy in the sixth round.
Yeah.
You get anything out of him. I think it's pretty good. So, yeah, maybe they, I think that's a lot more likely than a big name guard. There aren't that many big name guards out there, but
no.
I do think they need to find a starting right tackle or a guy who comes in here to compete for the starting job. Basically, anybody they sign at right tackle, by default, will be competing for the starting job because nobody's locked in there.
No. And Austin Pastore is going to be coming back from the injury. We talked a little bit about him yesterday.
But he's not locked in.
No. To clarify, he's an exclusive rights free agent. He's not even restricted. And basically what that means is he's got less than 2 years. He's got 2 years or less service in the NFL. Technically, he's at the end of his rookie deal. But the Jaguars have complete control over Austin Pastore. They can offer him a 2 or 3 year minimum contract, and Pastore has to take that deal or he retires essentially from the National Football League. The Jags could let him become a free agent if they wanted to, but as cheap as you can keep hold of that guy right now, that's not what they're going to do.
Yeah, I find a guy who could play right tackle for you, upgrade the position, but the rest of it, I mean, we see teams do it every year. Sign veteran guys who are just a guy in terms of being interior offensive linemen. And they end up starting for playoff teams, and those teams are fine with them. Go find some of that kind of guy out there and spend your big money on some of the harder-to-fill spots. You can find a guard. It's been proven. You can find guards in the middle rounds of the NFL draft. Okay, go out there and spend the big money on some proven guys who can put some points on the board for you.
Absolutely.
A tight end, wide receiver, what have you, running back at all. Let's go to Mike, I believe, up next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Morning, gentlemen. Two questions. First question is, if we don't go after a receiver or some type of playmaker in free agency, does that send a message at all to the fan base that we're more than certain that Blackman will be back for
no,
at least part of the season?
No.
Okay.
Dave Caldwell is smart enough to not bank on Justin Blackman, even if he's, again, if he was reinstated today, fully reinstated, how could you bank on him?
Yeah. it sends the message that, one, either the free agents just got too pricey for them to feel like it was worth pulling the trigger on any of them, or two, they feel really good about what they already have in-house.
Right. But there's nothing that's going to happen is any sign or signal about anything about Justin Blackmon.
No.
As far as that goes. Was that it, Mike, or did you have something else?
I got one more. Second question is, I know that Dave Caldwell had Blake Bortles picked out months in advance before the draft. We heard afterwards, of course, that that was their guy and that they were just sending up smoke screens on everything. How does the draft compare for the GM compared to free agency? Does he already know the exact phone calls he's going to make at this point, or is he still contemplating?
I don't know. They've got a week to go, so there could be some final stuff going on as far as that goes. But I got to believe they've run scenarios. You know, and this, again, I think this is interesting, Tony, the juggling act. Who do you call first? Because if you don't, maybe you try to bring in several guys on the first day, but if they decide, well, you know, do I want Sue to be my first visit? Okay, we're just throwing names out there. Is Cobb going to wait around? You know, you express interest. Hey, we want all you guys to come in and visit us. When can you come in and visit us? Do you want to hear what we have to say? Got a lot of money to spend. Sometimes when you're pursuing one guy, you miss out on other guys.
Yeah.
So it's just they're going to have a priority order, certainly. Who's the most important guy for this football team? Maybe if you're going to go after Sue, I think you got to go after him the first moment. It's possible. And when the first moment is going to be on the weekend. It's going to be on Saturday. You make that, you say, look, here's what we're prepared to offer you. And pretty much at that point, the guys that come in and visit you on the first day, they're going to sign with you because they already know what you're offering, right? And this is their opportunity to come in. Maybe meet with the coaching staff extensively, check out the facilities, what's it like to live in Jacksonville, blah, blah, blah. How am I going to fit in? Meet a few of the other players. And you've already gotten to the point where there's mutual interest in those first early days of free agency. So, you know, you're going to have your priority list. If you're Dave Caldwell, go out there. Whether it's finalized, I would think not 100%. There's probably some still discussions going on over the next few days, but not too many more at this point in time. Time's a wasting.
No, and look, hopefully we get the opportunity to sit down with Dave Caldwell sometime in the next 2 weeks and talk a little bit about free agency and the transition from that to the NFL draft. Again, we weren't doing this show at this time last year, so hopefully we get the opportunity to do that, and we can ask him about some of those things, how similar the process is getting ready for free agency to getting ready for the NFL draft, and just how much of a plan do these guys have in place for that first 72 hours when you have the opportunity to talk to all these guys officially for the first time. What kind of plan did they have in place? How did it work out for them? Again, we'll find out. You know, we're only 8 days away from this whole thing being cleared up.
Yeah, anybody that signed on day one was obviously a priority for them, right? And again, you know, Zane Beatles, the reason he signs it 10 minutes after four is because they already knew. He knew what was going to be on the table. He knew the Jags' interest, what they were willing to offer him. He was interested. Boom. Make it happen. And, you know, I think a lot of Jag fans are hoping there's two or three of those in the first few hours
Absolutely,
of free
yeah.
agency. Get it ironed out. Get it done. Wouldn't you love to have a Wednesday press conference next week introducing three of the new faces of the franchise, Ndamukong Suh, Randall Cobb, Devin McCourty? Kidding me?
That'd be sweet.
If they get that, Tony, and anybody wants to complain, right, at that point, because they didn't also get DeMarco Murray and Brian Bull. I mean, come on. Don't be crazy.
Yeah.
I want to see him pursue them hard. But if they could get two or three, two is probably the most realistic of the big name. I mean, if we're going to make a list of truly the big name guys that the Jags may have interest in, Sue, McCourty, Cobb, Thomas, maybe Macklin, you know, you throw in the receiver. One of those three receivers, right? Torrey Smith, throw in there as well. I think Crabtree's on the same level right now.
Probably not.
Right? But so one of those big three receivers.
But I'd be all right with Crabtree, too.
Right. A Julius Thomas, maybe a Jordan Cameron, depending on how they feel about the concussion issues. Maybe a right tackle. Certainly Ndamukong Suh. You know, some great suggestions, and let's get to those calls here in a second on some next tier free agents you'd like to see them pursue. We'll get to those. That was the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback spotlight today, and we'll do that in a moment. We got Bud on the line, though. Let's get that call in on Jaguars today. No Bud on the line. All right. No Bud's a bad situation to have. So, Tony, today,
yes.
Fan feedback spotlight asked you, other than the usual suspects, Okay, give us an under-the-radar kind of guy you'd like to see the Jags pursue. What do we get?
From Matt, he said Justin Blaylock, Brian Bulaga, Niles Paul, or Jordan Cameron. From at Irish Jaguar, probably a very unpopular opinion, but I wouldn't be completely opposed to re-signing Cecil. From Isaiah, Jacquizz Rodgers, LaMichael James, or a Brian Hartline.
What do you want to do with Jacquizz Rodgers?
I don't
know. Another pass-catching, too small to be LaMichael an every-down back guy.
We don't need any more third-down backs in Jacksonville. From Jeremy, how about Jabal Sheard, Malcolm Smith, and Doug Free?
Jabal Sheard is a nice under-the-radar name because Jabal Sheard was a very effective 4-3 end his first couple of years in Cleveland. They switched to a 3-4. I don't think he was as good a fit, although he probably could play in a pinch, but he's more of a classic 4-3 pass rushing end, and that is the definition of an under-the-radar guy. I like that idea.
From Brandon, Ahmad Bradshaw provides leadership, great pass catcher out of the backfield, won't cost a lot. He also won't play a lot. If you look at history.
Who is that?
Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Just the guy who gets hurt all the time. He's a really talented guy, just gets hurt way too much. From Cam, Bruce Carter from Dallas, physical outside linebacker with pass coverage skills. From Ronald, Niles Paul. From Darnell, Searcy, just as good as McCourty without the publicity, or Jordan Cameron. From Grant, C.J. Spiller, Byron Maxwell, and Malcolm Smith. Bobby said, Raheem Moore from Denver, with all the talk of McCourty, Moore I think would be a good fit. From Brian, Jeremy Parnell, the right tackle from Dallas, we mentioned him a few minutes ago, did good while Free was hurt. He would be an upgrade at right tackle. And Nick says, Mason Foster, an upgrade over Puzlesny, hashtag athletic middle linebacker. Foster's been kind of an underwhelming guy since he got in the league. He had a really good season, I think his second year, had around 90 or 80 tackles as a middle linebacker, but since then hasn't given him much down there in Tampa.
Give me Bruce Carter to play outside linebacker. Give me several other guys. I don't know if that's the way they're going to go, particularly because they made it pretty clear, Puzlesny's back. He's making a big chunk of money. I don't know how much you prioritize signing a guy. I mean, if they feel Puzlesny's back, unless they could change their tune on that,
right,
and they felt like Mason Foster would be an upgrade, and maybe you get him for a cheaper number than you're paying Puzlesny right now. Couldn't imagine he'd get that kind of contract, but who knows? Free agency is a funny thing with the cap going up. Two people on Facebook have suggested Anthony Fasano, the tight end. Oh, please no. Please no. Please no. I mean, you've already got a guy who's a good blocker who doesn't give you much in the passing game. Yes, he's making too much money for that role, but nevertheless.
Sure.
Give me Niles Paul. Give me any number of other tight ends out there. Don't give me Anthony Fasano, please. Not interested.
Me either.
Let's go. I think we got Gus back, or Bud back, excuse me, on the line. Bud, good morning. You're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Listen, I'm looking at the cap at $68 million, okay? That's what I saw on one of the sites. I'm looking at five players, the positions that everybody's looking at, along with linebacker being my number sixth. I'm looking at the safety and the wide receiver at $12 million. I'm looking at the right tackle at $6 million. I'm looking at the running back at $6 million, and I'm looking at the tight end at $9 million. My question here is the $9 million, we'll say, Julius Thomas, I don't know if that would be a fair price for him or not, but he's almost like switching out with Lewis. Lewis is at $8 million, so that's not really costing us on the on the cap. My question is here: is if I add these up, this looks like it's around 55, somewhere between 50 and 55 million. If you take the cuts that the Jaguars can make and say Lewis, Bryant, Storm, Haynes, and Ace, you got about $14 million there. So my view on it is we're probably sitting around more close to $80 million in cap room.
You potentially could be a lot more than that. You can cut the whole team if you want to and just the space you want. Go ahead. Now, finish your thought. Did we lose him?
Yeah, no, I'm here.
So what is the question then?
The question is, I'm wondering if they're going to be willing to bring in these guys and spend in a neighborhood of $55 million with the possibility of the cuts to get bringing it up higher.
All right.
They might be.
Could they cut Mercedes Lewis? Put it this way. Julius Thomas doesn't – they almost play two different positions. Julius Thomas is not the guy you bring in to improve your running attack, right? I mean, he is a receiver first and foremost. Can he block somebody? Sure he can. But there, you'd almost have a situation, Tony, where you want to have that big physical, primarily blocking tight end and the pass catching guy, right? So different circumstances, two tight end sets. You're going to have three of them on the roster. Doesn't mean, you know, you might not go for a cheaper alternative. Maybe you do go for a Fasano if you can get him for a couple million bucks and Mercedes Lewis is bye-bye because you spent all this money on Julius Thomas. Sure. They're factoring all this in. They know what they can and can't do. Cutting Ace Sanders, how much is cutting Storm Johnson? He's a seventh-round pick. What's he going to save you on the cap?
Right.
That's not, you don't cut Storm Johnson to save you cap space.
No, I don't think Ace Sanders is part of the team's plan next year, just based on what he's
I would agree.
It.
You're
not saving anything by letting go of a fourth-round pick in the third year of his deal. I mean, you're just not saving much. The idea of potentially letting Mercedes Lewis walk makes sense if you feel like you do have another guy that can give you what he gives you in the blocking game. And honestly, from what we've heard, or at least I've been told by some people who watch the tape every week, Mercedes isn't the blocker he was 3 years ago right now anyway. He's not giving him anything in the passing game that they're looking for, and he's not as good a blocker as he has been. So if they can find somebody else, like you said, cheap, that can come in and fill that role and sign a Julius Thomas, then maybe they do let Mercedes go. We get that there's money that the Jaguars could still create with their cap, but they don't need to, and they're not even going to think about doing those things until they get in a position where they feel like they have upgraded those spots, which is why Puzlesny and Mercedes right now are a part of this team.
Still. There's no point in cutting them.
Right.
That doesn't do you any good right now.
Who cares if you could spend $80 million? Are you going to be able to land players? And it's nice to say, yeah, we can spend $55 million this year. They can. But are there enough players that want to come to Jacksonville that they're willing to pay at whatever price the Jaguars are willing to pay that you're going to spend?
Think about it. Most years, Tony, if you have $40 million in cap space, that's a ton.
Not this year.
No, it's not this year. I'm saying, but most years in terms of spending that. So if you went out and spent $40, $45 million in cap space and rolled some of it into next year, there's going to be good players out there next year as well. Again, don't spend it all on lesser tier talent. You don't have to overspend on lesser tier talent.
Nope.
Necessarily. Okay? And that's, it's a juggling act.
But you do have to overspend on the upper tier.
You do. And that's granted. But like you said, what if they don't want to come? Right? Even if you offer them the most money. Maybe Oakland offers them the same money. They got a ton of cap space too.
Right.
Maybe some other team does. Maybe there's other considerations that they're going to other places for.
Having the most cap space in this particular offseason is a matter of degree compared to a lot of the teams that are out there, including teams that are in contention right now in the National Football League and the Bengals and the Colts and those types of teams that are close to getting to where they want to be, but competing for Super Bowls. As opposed to trying to get back in contention. Those teams have $40 million to spend, and they can go after some of the same guys that you're talking about right now.
Right, and look, if you fix your tight end situation or upgrade it, maybe you do cut Mercedes Lewis, because why pay him the money if you don't need to, if he's not an integral part of what you want to do? But at the very least, you're going to get that money next year's cap, because that money will roll off. You know, so yeah. Look, trust me, they're not just realizing, wow, we could even create more. They've got the most. They don't need more. Theoretically, could they have more? Sure. But they don't need any more. And it's not just a matter of, can you fit all these guys under this year's salary space? Yeah, you could. What about next year? What about the year after that? And you know,
it's really in 2 years that they got to start getting careful.
What's going to happen with these guys' contracts? The back end? Are they going to be bigger? Are they going to be smaller? What's going to happen when you start to re-up some of your young guys? All these things. It's all part of the puzzle. All right, that does it for us today. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships brings you the Fan Feedback Spotlight today, asking Jaguar fans what drives you. Check them out online at TomBush.com or visit them on Twitter at Tom Bush Motors. That includes Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush BMW, and Tom Bush Mini. That does it for us today. Joe C., Hacker, T-Wig, waiting on the other side. Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony signing off for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato. That does it for Jaguars today here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.